Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be
swimming when we die. Here's tonight's guest, author, founder of Optimum Project, Marshall Levin.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars are
musical guest, Leslie Spencer. I am Mark Zero, and now your host, the MC, the master of games, Marshall Levin.
I have been so looking forward to this show for many reasons. First of all, because our guest is Marshall Lefferts, and I remember years ago when the first Thrive movie came out, having great conversations with him, and I remember him throwing out a word that I didn't remember until his book came out, cosmometry. And so that's the word, and it's a word that I want to know more about, and so happy that we're going to be talking about that. Also been looking forward to having our musical guest on. She was going to be on live with us in the studio, and then the stay-at-home time happened, and so now we decided months later, since we're still not in the studio, that we're going to do the at-home edition with her. So looking forward to having Leslie Spencer on the show a little later on. Now, the interesting thing is that finally, after all these years, thanks to our mutual friend Lee Waterworth, he said, Marshall Leffert has his book out, and I didn't know, and I was only too happy to know, and only too happy to get to go through so much of his of what he teaches in his book, what he shares in his book. And when we finally had a conversation, I said, Marshall, how does this help in this moment? I feel like we need so much help in this moment. While we're all at home, it'd be great if there was something in this book. And of course, I hadn't gotten there yet. And he said, Filippo, jump to section 8, the next octave. And the answers are there. And I did. And then we had another conversation. And the answers were all positive, at least the way I saw it. So I said to him, Marshall, can we do something together that we've never done on the Life Changes Show before? And that's pretty much start at the end. Let's not go to the history of how it all went bad and all of that. Let's start with what's the good news today and going forward. And he said, I can do that. And so we're going to start at the end of his book, which is a new experience for me and one that I'm very much looking forward to because of what it is. So looking forward to that conversation with our guest and later on live music with our musical guests, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life, and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Okay, we are ready to get ready to get started to go to the end. But before we do, I am Filippo Voltaggio. This is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and I'm sitting here online with Mark Lejeur.
Ready to get started as well, I think. Is that your way of taking us right into patterns revealing themselves? I'm excited for tonight's show and Marshall, and was looking not only, of course, at all of his work, but this one's close to home, as you know, our partner company, and where we would love to be if wasn't the current corona environment, is in the Vortex Dome. Mm-hmm. And all of those inspirations from Bucky Fuller and all of Ed Lance's pioneering work. But the definition that I came across of cosmometry is the science of measuring the universe. And just that alone, and I know we're going to learn that and so much more, as there's a much broader, many definitions to cosmometry. But exciting conversation to connect the dots with tonight.
Indeed, and we've titled this Cosmometry, the Organization and Expression of the Universe. Our guest is founder and director of the Cosmometry Project, associate producer of Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take?, and visual effects co-director of Thrive 2, and author, Marshall Lefferts. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Filippo, and thank you, Mark. Is that what the name I heard before just a minute ago?
It is, it is.
Right. Okay, Mark, great. Thank you so much for having me tonight. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, interestingly, Mark said the definition he found, and interestingly enough, that's where your book starts, is the definition of the word cosmometry. So we'll go there at the beginning, and then we'll jump to the end. Tell us about the definition of cosmometry and how you came to find it as well.
Yes, I will. So this word is not well known, and I actually thought I made it up. This field of knowledge is typically called sacred geometry, and I always felt that that was sufficient to a certain degree, but there's a lot more to this field of knowledge, especially in a scientific perspective, that I felt needed a name that could serve both the scientific community and the spiritual community. And I was thinking about cosmic geometry, not just earth-based geometry. Mm. And I thought of this word cosmometry, and it kind of sounded funny, and I'd never heard it before, but I looked it up, and apparently it's been around in the English language for like 300 years or so, but it's really not in use. And so I adopted it for the, and I think it's actually the correct name for this field of knowledge. And the Mark said the basic definition is the art of measuring the world or universe. And yes, that's a pretty profound expanse right there. I extended this the definition of the term to really encompass the study of the fundamental patterns, structures, processes, and principles, and as well as systems that underlie how the universe is manifesting, as you said, how it's expressing itself and ordering itself. And so that's how I really broadened the definition of the word cosmometry.
And so when we first connected over your book, Cosmometry, Exploring the Hollow Fractal Nature of the Cosmos, I was saying to you, how does what you then describe a unified model of cosmic geometry, physics, music, and consciousness, I said, how does this help us knowing this? And how is it going to help us out of what we're experiencing, or what can you share about that? So it's really a two-part question, and let's start with the first part of that question, and then we'll move to section 8, I think you called it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the way that cosmometry as a field of knowledge is beneficial to humanity, especially at this time, is that it provides a basic kind of a blueprint, and it's actually a study of the blueprint of how nature is coordinating and manifesting into form and dynamic movement and organizing in a framework. Now, we know from the study of quantum physics and really kind of physics in general that everything in the universe is vibratory. It's vibrating and oscillating all the way from the smallest scale to the largest scale. And that it's a very coherent and organized system, although there's chaos, you know, throughout, and that's part of the change process. Talk about life changes happening all the time in the universe. There's also a very coherent order that is constantly present. And so understanding how that order and organization is occurring can help us to better come into alignment with that, which we humans are pretty well out of alignment with the coherent order and organization of nature and the cosmos. And so this field of knowledge, which encompasses, as you said, the cosmic geometry, the unified physics model of Nassim Haramein specifically, but physics in general, and the harmonic system of music, which is the organizing principle or the system that organizes harmonically across all scales in the universe, we can take that knowledge and bring it into our world, basically, and harmonize our systems, our social systems, our technology systems, our biological systems, all through resonance, through understanding the proportional ratios, like the golden ratio, the five beads that I heard in your ad that I know, Filippo, you've created, all based on those harmonic proportions. And when we apply that to especially our technologies, which are really causing a lot of detriment in the world, but then in other areas of life as well, we will bring ourselves into harmony, and that will take out a lot, really the majority of the pollution and stress and illness and all that, and bring us into a coherent, more stable experience of life individually, in our communities, and in the world as a whole. So for me, that's really the purpose and importance of this field of knowledge at this time.
You go on to say in the book that how we perceive the world around us informs how we perceive ourselves and vice versa, which in this moment, as we get closer to that conversation about the end of the book, is a scary thing.
it's scary in it's especially scary if you don't know there are alternatives. You know, in the face of the magnitude of crises we're in, you know, there's the very present one of the virus and all of the ramifications coming out of which are increasing the fear factor tremendously, with really virtually no really profound solutions, certainly solutions being proposed, some of which I'm certainly not in favor of, and many that really fall greatly short of being a true solution for our problems in the world. My feeling is that in the face of all this, without having a bigger picture sense, a sense of the greater, like I was just talking about, the greater organizing capacity of the universe, the understanding of resonance-based interaction with energy, with then how that can be applied to our environmental restoration, our bodies, health and wellness, and technologies that will be harmonious, as I was saying. Without that knowledge, it is very scary because there's really no apparent solution, and it just looks more and more dire. So it's a whole nother paradigm, and as I write about in the introduction, it's a whole worldview shift when you actually can embrace and encompass this knowledge into your life.
So from a certain perspective, it's scary. From a certain perspective, it's exciting. And we're going to get into the exciting when we come back with our guest, Marshall Lefferts, as we talk more about his book, Cosmometry, Exploring the Hollow Fractal Nature of the Cosmos. As a matter of fact, I think I have to ask him what hollow fractal is when we come back after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world to raise awareness about the issues we face and most of all to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
So this is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. This is Filippo online with Mark, and our guest is Marshall Lefferts. We're talking about his book, Cosmometry, Exploring the Hollow Fractal Nature of the Cosmos. Hollow Fractal. Marshall?
Help. Yes. Another wonderful new
words.
Yeah, I was schooled in the school of Buckminster Fuller, and he always made up lots of new words. But so hollow fractal is a concatenation of the words holographic and fractal. And so the simple definitions I use for those in my book for holographic is that the image of the whole is present at every point. And that's the nature of a hologram. And without getting technical about why that's so, that's what makes a hologram different from a photograph. And we can extend that principle to say that the information of the whole universe is present at every point in the universe. And that's being proven to be so. It's true of the field of light that we're in. And that's really kind of the foundational nature of the cosmos that hasn't been fully teased out in the current scientific model as yet. But the unified physics model of Nassim Haramein does show very strong correlations of the holographic or hologramic nature of the universe. And there's a lot we could go into on that, but that's a pretty deep topic and would take a while. And then the fractal. The definition I use is that the same pattern repeats at all scales. And so from the very small scale to the very large scale, we can see the repeating of patterns, for instance, like spirals and vortices that we can see at all scales. In fact, that's probably the most common. And the pattern of the torus, this donut-shaped dynamic vortex motion, energy motion, is also seen at all scales. And so it's a model that encompasses both the repeating pattern at all scales and the ubiquitous nature of information and light and sound that is contained everywhere. And so the wholeness is always present at every point.
Well, you inspired me both in the book and in conversation with you. From the book, I was thinking, wait a minute, this applies to our life, the relationship patterns, the extension of our micro family to the larger family and all that. It could be a whole other conversation. So I just want to put that out there that I'm liking that conversation at some point. And the other thing is, we were talking and you said, yes, this is factual. And every time you said that, I thought you were saying fractual. And then when you said no, I said factual, and I'm like, but fractual is actually a really good word. So I don't know exactly what it means yet, but I'm putting that out there too. So
all right, well, you're pioneering that one.
Yes, and so thank you for that. In the meantime, speaking of putting that out there, so when you said to me, Filippo, go to section 8. And so what would we find there? The new world, or the next octave, maybe, as you say in the book?
Yes. That section is the last section in the book. And as I was saying, the whole, everything that comes before it is describing this hollow fractal vibratory system of physics, of matter, of energy, and ultimately of consciousness as well, because in a unified model, there is no separation of consciousness, energy, and matter, and information. It's all one thing throughout the entire universe. And in the evolution of systems like our Earth and our human species and our human consciousness and all the life on the Earth, and in the evolution of systems that are vibratory in nature, like music is, there's a progression that occurs where, in music, for example, where you have a note playing and another note playing above that one octave, which is double the frequency, technically speaking, of the first note. And that when you raise up that first note to meet the second note to become the same, that's called unison. And right before it reaches that point, you hear a very, very strong kind of dissonant beating sound in the sound waves that is very turbulent and a bit chaotic until that note comes into unison at the next octave. And so when that occurs, the sounds just come into resonance and stabilize and get totally harmonious. And so my premise in that section of the book is that we, humanity, are experiencing that time right before coming into unison at the next octave, where it's the most turbulent. And we're experiencing that in the world. We're experiencing that in all the physical systems, in our social systems, in our emotions, in our health. You know, really across the board, we're experiencing a turbulence. And I fully believe that it's a natural progression that occurs not, and we can really go into some conjecture as it, is it just a local phenomenon on the Earth, or is it having to do with greater forces in the universe? Whatever it may be, I feel like we're at that threshold where we're going to shift into the next octave. And like I was saying at the beginning, that's through the process of harmonizing ourselves with this knowledge, with nature and the cosmos. And when we do, we come into unison and resonance. And what that looks like, to your question, it many, many things, when we achieve that kind of a state, and it's a choice we have to make. It's not a given, first of all. It's a choice we have to make to really go in this direction. But to do so and to embrace technologies that are based upon principles of resonance and frequency and vibration and restoring wholeness through resonance and through vibration, we can and will bring into our world a coherent, a healthy and stable environment, bodies, and ultimately, our societies, when we apply these principles to, say, for example, our economic systems, based on natural principles, not the contrived ones we're using now, which are really pretty much fictitious, when we apply that, we will stabilize our world in very, very profound ways. And by applying these kinds of principles to technologies that restore balance and wholeness, we can have environmental restoration of our water, of our air. We can have new technologies for generating energy, for example, electricity to power electric vehicles that are not based on polluting technologies and even battery technologies that are ultimately not very good for the environment. You know, there's what's called the free energy technology, which is to access directly from the potential energy within the field, the unified field that we are surrounded by and we are made of. And then applying the same kinds of technologies, resonance technologies, to restoring harmonious vibratory systems within our bodies. When we do that, we actually become healthy. No big surprise, really, when you think about it. And, you know, some of these technologies already exist, especially the ones having to do with using vibrational medicine for our bodies. Many, many different technologies exist for that with great results.
You know what, Marshall, also, this is Mark. You reminded me of something that maybe the listeners can really relate to, especially those that flew on some of the older commercial jets. But when you would get off the ground and the pilot would take time for the pilot to bring both engines to the same exact speed, there was those moments of discord and or counter vibrations or discomfort, actually, while you could hear the different speeds and the lack of resonance. And then all of a sudden it would come into unison and you would achieve a peaceful flight from there on. So it's it reminded me of those experiences.
I love that metaphor. That is a visceral experience of exactly what I'm talking about. You know, and that peaceful state, like you said, when it comes into that resonance, it feels good. You can relax. Imagine that happening in our whole world, where we consciously choose to harmonize and get everything resonating properly, where it's in discord now, especially in our technologies and in our health and well-being. What a huge shift that will be, and how that will ease our minds and our emotions and the tensions in the world. It's really a profound potential shift. And again, it's a choice that we have to make.
You know, Marshall, you've said a couple times it's a choice, and we have, it's a conscious choice. So what's the choice? So say we say, okay, yes, now what?
It's a couple of things. First is to accept a new paradigm of science that acknowledges the existence of a unified field, a field that is a vast potential of energy that in the current scientific paradigm, which is very reductionist, materialistic based, it actually hasn't for many years now, has not included the nature of the field itself. It's been more about the parts and the separation and the disconnection. And so in a unified model, not only of physics, but all sciences, it's acknowledging that everything is emerging from one unified field. And that unified field is a vast reservoir of energy in the so-called zero point level. The so-called vacuum emptiness of space is actually not empty. It's very full of energy. Vastly so. And so, first of all, to accept that paradigm into science, as well as the vibration, resonance, wholeness aspect into, for example, medicine. And in our electronic technologies, for example, to understand the musical harmonic importance of how they're operating, for example, our cell phones and all these wireless devices, the new technologies for wireless communication, are using frequencies that are in many cases detrimental to our biology. And there's I write about a meta study that was done by two researchers in the Netherlands that studied over 500 papers going back to the 1950s. To identify what frequencies are beneficial to biology, to cells, and how healthy they are or not, and which ones are detrimental. And so applying that knowledge to our technologies, to bring them literally, to tune them to become beneficial to biology rather than detrimental, that's the kind of choice that we need to make. Those are the core aspects in a really fundamental way.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Actually, when we come back, Would love to hear you talk a little bit about cosmometry of Phi, because that's near and dear to my heart, but I believe becoming more and more something that we all are tuning into, from Fibonacci sequence, etc. So it'd be great to talk a little bit about that as we explore more cosmometry, exploring the holofractal nature of the cosmos with our guest Marshall Lefferts. In our next section, we'll also have our executive producer Dorothy Lee Donahue with the Ask Dorothy question, and a little later on, live music with Leslie Spencer, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and joining us is Dorothy Lee Donahue. And we are talking to Marshall Lefferts, who wrote a book, among many other things, Cosmometry, Exploring the Holofractal Nature of the Cosmos. So if you are interested in the book or to learn more about cosmometry, you can go to cosmometry.com. That's cosmometry.com, or cosmometry.net, or resonancescience.org. There's so much we didn't get a chance to chat about. And actually, Marshall, the analogy that Mark gave about the twin engine plane, for example, it you know, and the fact that you keep saying it's a choice. I was thinking, I wonder if part of the choice is that potentially, if we were on that plane and the plane started to vibrate like that on its way to balance, the people that would be afraid and not know that that's how it goes until we are in balance might be screaming out, oh no, we're going to die, or, you know, what's happening? And the other people might be saying, that's just how it goes, and then we're going to be fine. So choosing the we're going to be fine, maybe.
Well, and, you know, and especially when you know that there's a choice. If you don't know there's a choice and you don't know somebody has more knowledge than you do, it's scary. And I know when I was first flying a lot and I would go, that would happen. And I'd be like, is that normal? You know, it would be kind of disconcerting, but until I realized, okay, that's normal and it balances out and it's all fine. So yeah, it's helpful to know what the options are and to know that it is a choice.
So before we go, just a quick talk on cosmometry of Phi, which is your chapter 25 in your book. And interestingly enough, our show, this show, is our 588th episode. You add that up, Marshall, and you get a Fibonacci number. So tell us about that, which is so you.
I think it's so you too.
Yeah.
So the phi ratio, the golden ratio, of course, many, many people have heard of it. And it's been known about for a long time. It's a very natural ratio, which is the ratio of 1 to 1.618. And it's been well documented in many, many books and many, many documentaries and lots of research, especially as it applies to form and in human art and architecture and in nature. And it's found throughout nature. And it's quite remarkable just how common it is in nature, and not only in nature as we experience it in the world around us, which it's very prevalent throughout nature in the plants and animals, as well as it's present from the atomic scale up to the galactic scale and ultimately universal scale. And so it's a very profound ratio that I think has in many ways kind of perplexed scientists, because it's not, there hasn't really been an explanation as to why this is so. And I think it's concerned many scientists because it suggests a higher order, or, you know, some kind of a design that suggests an intelligence that is something contemporary science has been a little bit leery of, let's say, for a few hundred years, you know, to separate from the spiritual, religious kind of intelligence aspect. And if you're thinking of only random processes as being what creates the universe, which is the current scientific model, then something that's so precise and organizing seems not so random. And so it's present nonetheless throughout scientific theory. It's been discovered by scientists, again, at all these scales. It's in our DNA. It's in the proportions of our body. It's in the plants, and it's in the galaxies, in water vortices, in trees, it's and seashells. You can just find it everywhere. Now, why is that, is the question. And I cite the work of a man named Richard Marek, who I studied his work. It's called harmonic interference theory. So he really did a deep study of the harmonics system and how that is underlying the order and the form creation in the universe. And I, for decades, have been wondering, you know, what is the role of this phi ratio in the universe? It's got to have a role. It's not just some, you know, interesting happening. And he points out that it's the ratio that serves to, in a universe that is resonating and vibrating, you need, in order to have resonance, you have to have the silent space between the resonating system, like a note, a guitar, or a voice, or any vibrating system that comes into resonance needs something to contain it in order to, if it weren't contained, it would just resonate wildly and just pretty much kind of destroy itself. It'd get too energetic. So the phi ratio is providing what he calls the damping of energy. And it basically takes out frequencies that are not resonating, and it pulls them out in these little vortices that bring them back down to the zero point. And that just blew my mind when I read that. I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, that was the first time I ever heard anybody explain how the system works. In order to have resonance, you need damping. In order to have damping, you need a way to remove inharmonic frequencies. And the phi ratio, the Fibonacci sequence, if you think of it as frequencies that takes them and spins them back down into to the zero point, while also building up the resonance. It's doing both of those things, actually. It actually builds the resonance and dampens those that think those frequencies which are not resonant. And that sounds, you know, wonderful when it comes to like music or sound, but when you look at life around us and nature, and think of the same thing happening. Like if you see a pine cone and the spirals of the pine cone, or a sunflower, and you see the all the seeds in those spirals, in between all those seeds is empty space. And that's what the phi ratio is doing. That's how it's defining seeds, is by defining the space itself. So it's really quite a profound insight. And I, again, that can serve in a very profound way to guide us as we create technologies that would be more harmonious.
Marshall, you just blew my mind. As you know, I've been studying this for a couple years, almost three actually, and in the creation of the 5Bs, etc. And I have never yet run across that. I haven't read chapter 25 yet. If it's in there, I can't wait, because I started to take notes. And you were just going so fast, I'm like, I'll just listen to the show again. And then I thought, wait a minute, it's probably in chapter 25. So
no, it's very much in my book. You'll get everything and more, I just told you.
Well, you've given so much and more today, and looking forward to more. I feel much more positive about what's happening, in the sense that while those two engines are right now creating what feels like a lot of turbulence on the ground, that I want to be one of the ones that calmly sits beside the person going, oh my God, whatever, is saying, you know, this is how it goes, you amateur. No, no, well, I didn't know. Now I know myself. So I'm gonna go with that. Thank you, Marshall, so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me here today. And it's really important that we take a stand for creating this world that we know is completely possible, and we actually have most, if not all, the technology and understanding that we need to make that shift. And there are certain forces that are trying to stop that from happening, and we have to negate those and choose this. And the good news is that we can. It's all here to do so. Yeah, and that gives me so much optimism in the face of all this turbulence we're in.
Nice.
So I'm with you all the way.
Nice. Thank you so much. Again, our guest has been Marshall Lefferts. The book is Cosmometry, Exploring the Hollow Fractal Nature of the Cosmos. And you can learn more about him and his book at cosmometry.com, cosmometry.com or .net or resonancescience.org. What a great conversation we had with Marshall Lefferts. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Adam, and I live in Los Altos, California. My five-year-old daughter is very angry with me because she discovered in her preschool class that Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny are fictional beings. When a classmate told her the truth, she asked me why her friend would lie to her, and I was compelled to tell her that all of these characters were not real in the physical sense. She started crying and said to me, "How could you do this to me? How could you lie to me after telling me that I could always trust you and tell me the truth? I will never be able to trust you again. Dorothy, I just don't know what to say or how to heal this damage to our relationship. I was only doing what everyone I know does. I was passing on a fantasy by telling some white lies, just as my parents did and just as their parents did. Why can't she laugh it off like everyone else that I know has done? And how can I fix this?"
My dear Adam, this is such an important issue, and I will do my best to assist you. Just as your parents lied to you, my parents lied to me. And once I discovered the truth about Santa and the rest, I was able to laugh it off, as so many have done from generation to generation. However, the difference is that you told your daughter that she could always trust you to tell the truth. So it's easy to see how discovering the truth led her to her reaction and pain, and now distrust. Something similar happened to me when I was 5 or 6. My mother was born on the 4th of July, and I was told that all of the fireworks and all of the celebrations were all for her, and that everyone was celebrating her birthday. I believed it, and when I shared it with a classmate in preschool, he shared my stupidity with the entire class, and it took a long time for me to overcome that experience. When I tried to talk to my parents about my pain, they told me I was being silly and that it was just a white lie and that they meant no harm. Then they yelled at me for being so sensitive, and I was unable to express future pain and frustration because I didn't want to be called stupid. It is interesting to me that the definition of white lie in the Merriam-Webster dictionary is this: a lie about a small or unimportant matter that someone tells to avoid hurting another person. So although you considered lying about Santa and others as little white lies, they really were not. They were lies that had been passed down for centuries. Since what my parents told me was an out-and-out lie, and not told to avoid hurting me, and in fact caused me social embarrassment, it took a while for me to get over it, and I didn't really enjoy the 4th of July celebrations for years. Eventually, I was able to work through it, and today I can enjoy celebrating the 4th. I intuit that your daughter is extremely sensitive and very wise for her age, and that she was as hurt as I was, partially due to being laughed at when the lie was exposed. The fact that you told her that you would never lie to her just added to the injury. I believe that it is very important to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your daughter, explaining that you now realize that by following a pattern of sharing the fantasies of the beings you represented as real, that you hurt her, and that you trust she will forgive you. It is vital for her to know that you'd been programmed to believe that lying about these characters was simply what everyone does, and that you never considered it a lie. Thank her for bringing the truth to your attention, and ask her what she needs now to be able to trust you again. By admitting that you made a less than elegant choice by blindly following societal patterns, and by asking her what else you can do to heal, I feel she will understand, and you will regain her trust.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition with our musical guest, Leslie Spencer, after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo on the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show, and our musical guest, after years of singing backup for the world's most prominent big bands, you know them, Brian Setzer and Louis Prima Jr., she has come out with her own debut album of original music of her own called Sing Out. She's a vocalist and a songwriter, and we are happy to have her on the show. Welcome, Leslie Spencer, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you. I'm learning so much today. I was
all of us are. I'm glad to hear that. And it applies so much to music as well, right?
It does. I'm always concerned with the note that my cat sings. It's always between, you know, an A and a B flat.
Oh, interesting. I'm quite sure I have heard you or seen you actually perform live with Louis Prima Jr., but I didn't actually get to meet you until Chef Richard Lombardi said to me, "Don't you know Leslie Spencer?" And I said, "No." And here we are.
Yes.
And you know, when you're getting to do some fun things like traveling all over the world with such great music, such great musicians, and singing so well and all that, you don't always stand out, which is supposed to be part of the deal, right? You make it happen in the background kind of thing. But you are not only standing out, you labeled your album Sing Out. Tell us what is that saying to you?
So the album kind of started off as like a breakup album and then it takes a journey towards, you know, sing out, heal your soul, you know, you're never too young and you're never too old. Use your voice, no matter who hears, just make a noise. So it's kind of like the hopeful ending, which it's, you know, they're never really endings, they're always beginnings. So
nice. Well, actually, I've gotten to hear a couple cuts from the album. I'm curious, what are we going to hear first?
Oh, sorry about that.
Are you there, Leslie?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm moving my phone around in the air.
All right. So I said, I'm curious, what are we going to get to hear first?
What am I going to sing first? I'm going to sing my song Travesty, which is the breakup song that started it all. And my dear friend John Snoke is on guitar. So here we go.
Okay, well, here is Leslie Spencer performing from Sing Out Travesty live at home on the Life Changers Show.
I got your letter about why you're gone. I should have known better. The signs were all wrong. But your loving was good and your promise was strong. But that don't make a man. You flipped the switch and the lights went out. Our love became a sham. Travesty. You never let your heart be free. Look what you did to me. You take my love and run. It's a felony, more of a parody of the way it's supposed to be. And now you're gone. Pack my stuff, go on, put it out front. Oh, my pop is coming by to break it up. The true desire lies in the place that's just beyond the fear. You think that you need time and space, but that's what makes it clear. Travesty, you never let your heart be free. Instead of choosing me, you take my love and run. Oh, you're so cowardly, couldn't even talk to me. But everyone else could see you decided we're done. Come on, John, come on. Oh, it's a travesty. Just let your heart be free. Apology, I won't hold my breath, you see, cause I'm moving on with me. I'm chasing the sun. I got my dignity, and it keeps telling me that the reality is you're not the one. Thank you.
Leslie Spencer, that's awesome. You know, I love that you say about your songs that they're made for living, laughing, sobbing, sighing, and eventually learning to love again. So
yes,
good on you.
May that be so. Maybe not in the time of COVID, but
no, we probably need more love at this moment, at least, you know,
yes,
find it. But if you're enjoying this as much as I am, you can go to LeslieSpencer.net. That's LeslieSpencer.net. And she's also available on Instagram, Twitter, all at Leslie Spencer. Mm-hmm. And you're posting all kinds of stuff now that the album's out, right? People are starting to see you for you more.
Yes, yes.
How does that feel?
It feels awesome. And, you know, I didn't do this without wonderful, amazing collaborators. And, you know, what started it all was I had a line in my head, and I went to Kevin McHenry, who just won a Grammy for Best Blues Album with Delbert McClinton.
Nice.
And we were on the road with Setzer, and I was like, hey, is this any good? Like, I've just been writing these lyrics and I'm just not sure. And so he helped me kind of shape things and then invited me to his studio in Franklin, Tennessee. And we spent a week writing, and he wasn't my only songwriting partner, but I also co-wrote with Matt Mangano, who is the bass player in the Zac Brown Band. And so he and I co-wrote the title track, Sing Out. So, yeah, really amazing experience. Like, it's also terrifying because when you're branching it on your own and you have to be your own manager and your own, you know, roadie. So, I was fortunate to do a couple shows before, you know, things shut down. So,
yeah. Well, interesting how I say sometimes the thing is the thing, and sometimes it's about getting to the thing.
Exactly.
So I hope for you that it's both and more. But certainly, yes. What satisfaction! Kudos to you and. You grow in ways that you didn't know you could grow, right?
For sure, for sure.
And you learn.
Yes.
So let's get to hear something else. What this is from the album as well?
Yes. Yeah, so this is Sing Out.
Sing Out.
You are going to hear, it's sort of like a karaoke track. It's from the record, so it's the full band, and then I just had Kevin take out my voice so I could sing it live. So,
well, we're glad you're gonna sing it live, and thank you, Kevin. And it'll be that at-home experience at the moment, and then someday maybe we'll get to do it live in person. But in the meantime, here is Leslie Spencer performing Sing Out, the title track from her album, live at home on the Life Changes Show.
No stranger to heartbreak, no stranger to pain, no stranger to putting back the pieces once again. I tried isolation, filled every glass with wine, but I kept coming back to the same place every single time. And now I know how to put one foot in front of the other. And now I know the best way to recover is to sing out, heal your soul. You're never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise. Sing out, heal your soul. You're never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise. You gotta find your ammunition. You gotta tell your fear to go. Fight the battle in the world that'll never end until you learn to steady your soul. Don't let the thief of comparison ever steal your mind. There are much greater things ahead than anything we leave behind. And now I know how to put one foot in front of the other. And now I know now the best way to recover is to sing out, heal your soul. You're never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise. Sing out, heal your soul. You're never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise. Sing out, heal your soul. You're never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise. Sing out, use your soul. Never too young or ever too old. Sing out, use your voice. No matter who is, just make a noise.
Nice. You certainly sang out, Leslie Spencer. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm all sweaty now.
All her socials are... I didn't hear you, sorry?
Oh, I said I'm all sweaty now. So that's when you know you sung out.
You were singing out. Your whole body was, I'm sure. So all her socials are Leslie Spencer and, of course, LeslieSpencer.net. And, Leslie, I have to say there's one part of your bio that I really like, how someone says that you sing out tells a story not in chronological order but rather like facets on a diamond, revealing different perspectives on the journey of love going, well, in this case, going down in flames. But hopefully the next love growing.
Yes.
If that's what you want, in any event, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Very welcome, and look forward to officially meeting you in person. If I'm assuming we haven't, but we might have. But nonetheless, yeah. All the best to you. Once again, Leslie Spencer, and then, of course, Marshall Lefferts. Thank you to Marshall Lefferts for being such a great guest on Cosmometry today. That is our show. A big thank you to BBS Broadcast Network, our partners, and on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger. I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.